trenches. True stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode number 76 of Within the Trenches. Now, it's been about a month since the last episode that I did, and that episode was with Jeremy and Sherry, and they were with the National Joint TERT Initiative. It was an excellent episode. If you don't know anything about TERT, you need to check that one out, as well as another episode that I did from the National NENA Conference when it was in Charlotte, North Carolina. Both excellent episodes, and yeah, you have to check those out. A lot of good information there. But since then, I've been doing a lot of training. I've been out training dispatchers on text 4911 with our platform Texty, which includes text to and from dispatch, where dispatchers can actually initiate a text session. So I've been doing a lot of that stuff and doing marketing videos and a lot of things for work. So as I've said in other episodes, life happens. So the show is supposed to be weekly, but you know, I got other things that are going on, and I gotta keep doing both and try to find a balance. So I'm hoping now that I've gotten a lot of those bigger projects out of the way, I'll have more time and I'll be able to do these episodes weekly again. And I do have a list actually of people that I emailed recently, excuse me, where I've got a lot of people that are going to be coming on to the show. I've got about 10 that I was in contact with. And so things are getting planned. Things are getting good. And I have a couple of announcements to make as well. One of the big ones is I can officially say that the 901 Wellness Foundation and Within the Trenches podcast have now become strategic partners. And what that means is that we're going to help each other to reach a greater audience through our outlets. So there, one of the episodes that'll be coming up will be with Jim Marshall of the Wellness Foundation. And we're going to lay out exactly what we're going to be doing to help spread each other's word. So I'm really excited about that. Long time coming. He is, I would say, about as busy as I am. But I don't come anywhere close to how busy he is. So he's been doing a lot of things and we've been keeping in touch, but now it's official and we're going to get things going. The second announcement that I want to make is that I've been talking with my co-host Whitney, and we are going to start planning some more episodes to do together. Since I moved to Indiana and she has a little baby boy now, it's been really hard for us to get in contact to do an episode because she's out of state, and it's a lot more fun when we do these together face to face because we go off of each other and our sense of humor is a lot alike, very crass, and it's always a good time. So we're going to get those going, and I'm excited about that as well. So there's more to come, and yeah, it's going to be awesome. So for this episode, episode 76, and now that everybody's up to speed, my guest today, I did an episode with the National Public Educator Forum back at that same conference that I was talking about earlier, the one in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this was with Karen and Robert. And that was really good doing that one. And now I get to do another one with NPEF. And my guests today are Patty and Melinda. How's it going?
Good.
Excellent. Now, the both of you are out of Texas, correct?
Yes.
And I'm assuming that the weather there is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably better than where you are. It's still pretty yes. chilly, but the highs, I think, are in the 60s today. So it's warming up a little again.
You know, I had snow on Sunday in 20s. And today we're in the 60s.
Really?
Yes.
But see, I'm located in Austin and like nothing really happens around us. You know, all the bad weather goes around us.
yeah. You know, I actually have family in Austin and I haven't been there in about 10 or 11 years, but I really like the area. It's very nice. And yeah, the weather that you guys are experiencing is definitely better than where I'm at. There's a blanket of snow that I can see out of the office here. And yesterday, I believe it was about 9 degrees. Yeah, the wind was blowing. It's that kind of wind that, you being in Texas, I don't know if you've experienced it yet.
But, yeah, bone chilling. Yeah.
It's that kind of kind of wind that just bites your face.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I used to live in Michigan and they're getting hit way worse. It's interesting to me that I'm only a state away and really not that far from the Michigan border, but yet the weather is completely different. And I was in the Upper Peninsula a couple of weeks ago for work and it was completely clear there. And I mean, there was a little bit of snow, but it wasn't like it was the following week when my boss went up there. They got 3 feet of snow. And so he got to experience some awesome weather.
Yeah.
Where,
sounds like it.
Yeah, where I ended up getting out of it. So that was pretty good. I enjoy that. So, but moving from that, what I want to talk about, and for those who, you know, the listeners who may not have heard about NPEF, what I want to know is how exactly did NPEF start? And, you know, what is it all about?
Originally, we were at a conference in Tampa, Florida, and we had been having public educator sessions at this national conference for several years, but we never could get a big enough slot of time where, you know how it is with educators, or they like to talk a lot. And so we would just get started and it would be time for the session to be over. So there were four of us sitting around after our session was finished and started discussing how could we remedy this problem and get more time. And someone suggested, well, why don't we just have our own conference? And we sat there for a minute and then we said, yeah, why don't we have our own conference? It can be just for public educators and we can talk all we want and nobody will tell us this session's over and to get out of the classroom. So that's how NPEF came about. And the other thing that really cemented the choice for us to begin NPEF was that over and over and over at national conferences, we would hear the same thing from public educators, that they didn't really have a network of support. Like here in Texas, we have a very well-oiled little machine for public educators. And we got a really good solid base. If you needed to find out any kind of information, you could contact one of our public educators and within minutes have a brochure, have a PowerPoint presentation, or you could even, you know, if you needed some materials, everybody's nice enough that they'll share their materials with you as well. So that was the whole point of us starting NPEF, was to provide a network that's very similar to the one that we have here in Texas, but do that on a national basis for those that are out there that may not have a support network or may not be able to order 10,000 brochures or pencils at one time.
And being able to provide this for free.
Oh yeah, free. That's the best part.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's free. No membership fee. But you do have to be in the 911 or public safety industry to join.
See, now that's awesome right there, because I know that when I was still in dispatch, you know, I would go to these conferences and they'd say, you know, you need to join, you know, try to join this organization or try to join this organization. But, you know, coming from dispatch, we don't make a lot of money. So
really?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. You would think that, and you know, just like EMTs and stuff, you know, people that work for EMS, I always thought that they made a lot of money and because of what they do. And here I am in dispatch and I make way more than they do. But even with that, I'm still not making the kind of money where I can just throw down $300 or $400 for a membership and, right, you know, get, you know, whatever benefits that comes from it. You know, it's a little harder to do that, but you guys offering it for free, that's amazing. That's awesome.
That's one of the things that we like to do, is keep costs to a minimum, and which free is as minimum as you can get. And also, provide that network for everyone to rely on.
And that's the same idea too with the actual conference. That's why we keep the early bird registration fee, you know, so costly or, you know, cost effective. Because if you look at what most conferences that you go to, I mean, it's at least $500, $600 mm-hmm. just to register. And that's not even, you know, including hotel and airfare. So, you know, in the past, ours has been a $130 early bird rate, which we think has been, you know, very reasonable.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know that. Yeah, that the fees for a lot of the other ones, I've been lucky in the sense where they, I don't know, work was able to pay because I don't remember what fund it came out of, but, you know, we got to go and I didn't have to pay anything. And so it was awesome for that. But doing it when I got out of dispatch, it was a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's coming out of your own pocket.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Well, the cost of our conference, our annual conference, is relatively similar to the registration rates for the national conferences that we attend. It's anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500, depending on how much your flight costs, mm-hmm. What kind of meals you eat. We try to provide a few meals during the conference, but we really want to keep the price down and make it affordable so that people that are in the telecommunications center can attend. You know, we have a lot of people that aren't supervisors or administrators, and they're like you. They're, you know, telecommunicators.
Yeah, telecommunicators. Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of people that attend and that also network with us that are just members. That wear several hats at one time. And public education is one that normally is on the bottom of the totem pole, and it gets assigned to you sometimes whether you want it or not. So that's the kind of attendees that we have. We have a lot of folks that are really passionate about what they do and passionate about 911 and their job, but they haven't been trained how to do public education. They haven't ever talked to kindergartners before. They maybe have not talked to any kind of a group before. And
yeah, they're not aware of the resources that are right. available.
Right. And what do you say to a senior citizen about using 911? That's a big one that we have all the time because, and I think it's getting better because our seniors that never experienced 911 when they were younger are now getting used to the thought of 911, and they don't call their daughter in another state to tell them that they're laying in the kitchen floor and need some help. They'll call 911 now. So I think that part of public education is being effective, and that's a good sign that we're doing a good job.
Yeah, that is awesome because being in dispatch, I used to get calls like that all the time where
yes.
the son or daughter or whichever would call up and say, I need you to send an ambulance out to an address. I'm like, okay, can the person from that address call me? No, they called me first. I just, and I'm on my way over there to them as well. Okay, well, what's the address? Oh, I don't. Can you look it up? And I'm like, what? So, sure. Yeah, a lot of those times it was family members that didn't even know the address. They just wow. knew how to get there. And then they would throw out some curveball name like Bob's Road or something. Yeah, you know where that place is at, right? No, I'm like,
it's
no.
been forever.
So I'm glad that, you know, you guys are able to do this and are getting somewhere with the public education because that's what dispatchers need. People need to know their location. They need to not be afraid of calling 911 and call somebody else. They need to just call 911. So that's awesome that people are actually calling now. And, so how many conferences have there been now?
We're in our fifth year.
Excuse me.
Coming up. Go ahead, Patty.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. This is our fifth conference, the national conference.
Awesome. Yeah,
so we usually have it in July of every year. So this next year will be right outside of Denver in Golden, Colorado.
Oh, nice.
So we're really excited to take the conference to Colorado and see if we can get a lot of, you know, Colorado telecommunicators and educators to attend, you know, as well as, you know, people throughout the rest of the country.
Now, we start We started out primarily as public educators for 911, but we've noticed that we get more and more fire educators and police educators as well in the conference. And so it really doesn't matter what you could be, a telecommunicator, an officer, a fire person, any of those kind of things. And as long as you are educating citizens, everything that we talk about is applicable to your job.
Yeah, I mean, we hear, I know, you keep trying to say something, and then we interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
I was just saying, you know, the feedback we get from these conferences time and time again is that this is amazing. It's something that they've, you know, not been able to find anywhere else. And, you know, it's just a great resource for these educators. And I think that they feel like they finally have someone on their side.
No, that's definitely good. And all I was going to ask, I was going to backtrack a little bit and then come back to the conference. I just wanted to know how the both of you got involved with NPEF and these conferences and such.
Well, I'll let Patty start since I'm the newbie.
Okay.
I was one of the original four folks sitting outside after a session at a national conference. And, that's how I got involved with it. And I've been the facilitator for the group, since it started in 2008. And we started out with four members and we've grown to over 600 members in those few years.
Yeah. And for me, you know, starting to work here at CSEC, Commission on State Emergency Communications, long title. Yeah,
I'm glad you said that one.
You know, Robert Gonzalez used to be in my position. And, you know, he was so passionate about the NPEF organization. And so when I took over the role as the public educator here for the state, he, you know, he just couldn't say enough stuff about, hey, you know, like I was involved in this and you don't have to be, but let me tell you all the reasons it's great. You know, so I attended a couple days of the conference when it was held in San Antonio and I was blown away. And, you know, I mean, everybody is just amazing that you work with in this industry. They're helpful. They're, you know, engaging. And I just couldn't say no. I had to be involved in this organization.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's been a great addition to our committee and to the group as a whole.
Oh, thanks, Patty. Yeah, I've become the official like videographer. So all the videos you see have been ones I've been creating.
Yeah. Speaking of which, now that we've got a little background on the both of you, going back to the conference, this most recent conference, you guys created a PSA and I was watching it. I've seen it a couple times, but I was watching it again this morning and I think it's a really good video. How did you guys come up with it? Like just doing it there with all the people that were there?
Well, so, you know, I was going to be doing a session on, you know, video PSAs and how they're effective in public education. Mm-hmm. And so during my session, I thought, well, you know what, we should create a video here and just show them how successful it can be when we post it on YouTube. And so, you know, everybody loves that song, Happy. You know, you hear it and get a smile on your face, right? So I just took that song and I asked them, you know, just dance around, have fun with it. We're going to put some public education messages on some poster board and then we're just going to go with it. We'll do two, you know, go through it twice and then I'll be able to edit it and put it together and it'll be fabulous. And so everybody, I mean, they loved it. They had a great time putting it together. And so I, you know, edited it and put it, you know, online. And I think that, last time I checked, it was like almost up to 700 views.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's really fantastic. And, you know, I mean, I just think that when you're using video to get your message out there, it's just a really effective tool, as I'm sure you know as well.
I shared it and I'm also going to post that video when I do the blog post for this episode. I'll have all of your links and everything on there and I'll put that video there as well because I've got a list of a couple hundred people that it goes directly to. As soon as I post it, it goes to them. And
awesome.
And then, you know, it'll just keep.
Yeah. And we recently, just a few months ago, some educators got together and we created a cell phone Sally video. I don't know if you've seen this one, called Tell Them Your Location. And anyways, it's hysterical. If you haven't seen it, it's almost up to 1,000 views. And it's just a great message to remind people to, you know, if you're in an emergency, be aware of your surroundings, know your location. We were lucky enough to have a Dallas police officer who has an amazing voice sing it for us. So I'm sure that also helped pull in some more views.
Cool.
Yeah. And then we also did another one a few months later. We went in October, the end of September, and we created, that officer happened to be in our public educator academy, and we created another PSA with him, and it's about butt dialing.
And that one is too funny.
It's to the music from Blurred Lines. Is that the name of it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
they're both parodies. Yeah,
nice. Yeah, I'm gonna. Are those on your website?
Yeah, if you go, they're on this Cell Phone Sally YouTube site. So if you search on YouTube Cell Phone Sally 911, it should pull up our channel, and on there we have all those PSAs. I don't have the one that Patty's referring to. You would have to actually go to North Central Texas Council of Governments. I think it's just NCTCOG, and they have a YouTube channel that they have that posted on.
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah, I will check those out as well as post the links for that on the blog post as well. You know, stuff like that that's fun. You know, people are learning from it as well. There's an educational message, but it's fun. And that's what I thought about the PSA that you had from the most recent conference. It was good. A coworker of mine actually was here as I was preparing some stuff, and she was asking who I was interviewing today. And I told her, and I said, you've got to check out this PSA that they did. And she's our training coordinator here. So I'm under her. She goes around, the dispatch centers as well, and trains, and she knows all of the directors, and she's got them on a list and stuff. So, you know, she was talking about sending it out. So it's probably going to go out as well to awesome. To directors around here in Indiana. So yeah, you guys are going to pick up some steam.
That's what we need it for you to share.
Yeah,
of course.
I mean, and you know, hopefully we'll be making an even better one in Colorado. So.
No, that's awesome.
We're taking ideas now if you have a good one.
There you go, for those who are listening.
Yeah.
So what were some of the types of speakers that you guys had at this most recent conference? Were they, you know, were there techniques on, you know, how to deal with stress, or was it just for public education, or what all did you guys have for the conference?
We have inspirational speakers. One of our biggest speakers last year was Mel Robbins. And I actually was lucky enough to see her at the Texas Conference for Women last year. And she just blew me away. Just her, you know, tools for how to get off your butt and get what you want done were just really fantastic and spoke to me. So I went back to the MPEF committee and I was like, we have to have her. We have to have her. And so we worked it out, and I mean, everyone loved her. It was a great keynote speaker. And then of course we had Kelly Rasmussen also. She was our ending keynote. Mm-hmm. And Patty, you want to talk a little bit about her?
Oh, Kelly was really inspirational, and Ricardo, you've had experience with her.
Yes.
You spoke at her conference, and Kelly is really great because she knows the profession and she is highly motivational. She had people throwing beach balls around, they were laughing. They really, really enjoyed her speech, and what she, you know, the content of her speech was really good. It was a great ending note for the conference.
Yeah, the energy was really great. And I think that is what gets people to really listen, is when a speaker has a good energy and can deliver their message in a, you know, engaging way.
Yeah. And that's something else that makes our conference unique. Mm-hmm. Not only is it unique because it's made for public educators, but it's unique because we really have so much fun while we're working. And I know our bosses don't want to hear that, but we really do. Right. We have a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. And I make new friends every year that you know, I enjoy keeping up with them on Facebook, and they really add a lot to our conference. And
yeah, it really is a genuine group. Yeah.
They're very passionate. Everybody is there for the same reason. And we don't have a session, breakout sessions or tracks or anything like that. We are in one big room all together, and you don't have to pick and choose sessions, which is really cool.
Yeah, which I always hate about going to other conferences, because then you think, well, what are you missing out on, you know?
Yeah.
So you don't miss out on anything at our MPEF conference. You're there for the duration. You get to hear everything. And one of the first things we do when they get there on Sunday is we do a session called the Think Outside the Box session. And Susan Rodriguez, one of our committee members, she comes up with a really innovative idea every year to get everybody to know different people than the people they came with. We usually end up doing small group activities, and it serves as a really great icebreaker. And normally we get a product out of it, too, that they can take home and use right away.
See, that's cool, because there are some times when you're at a class or a conference or whichever, and you don't know a lot of people. And sometimes, you know, even if you do your introduction in the beginning, I am so-and-so, I work for this dispatch center for this many years, you know, I like long walks and whatever, you know, that's about the only thing you get sometimes. You don't get to really, you know, interact with people and learn things. So I like this, is highly interactive.
Oh yeah, there's so many opportunities.
Networking. I mean, you meet so many different people. Not to mention all the information that you're learning. I've had people tell me that it's just mind blowing. They don't even know where to start, because they've got so many new fantastic ideas, and they're all excited, and they go home and they tell their supervisors about it. And hopefully that supervisor is open to public education, because it does save lives, and it does cut down on calls to the comm center that are non-emergencies, which, you know how much fun that is to get all those non-emergency calls.
Oh, yes.
And it's been proven that, you know, public education is a valuable tool to agencies.
Have you guys done a video for like fireworks and parades, telling the public not to call 911 lines for firework times and parade times?
No, but I can put that on my list.
Sweet. That was one of the big ones that I would get, or, you know, the people that I worked with, we would get all the time. And you can probably ask any dispatcher and it would be the same thing. You know, call up 911. 911, where's your emergency? Well, I don't have an emergency. Okay. Can you hold on just a minute? Well, can I just ask you really quick? Like, well, okay, just really quick. What's your question? Can you tell me what time the fireworks are going to be tonight? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I was like, I got a real emergency on the other line that I put on hold because I'm the only one on phones to get you. And yeah.
Yeah, I was just reading today how a granddad had called on his like teenage grandson that he wouldn't stop playing video games and do what he told him to do. And I'm like, really? People call about this?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, I actually got a phone call once from someone who wanted me to send an officer to go speak to her 4-year-old because he was out of control. And I said, I would never deny anybody a police officer, but I had to make sure to tell them that, you know, we're not sending an officer there to discipline your child. That's not what we do. And she's like, well, can he just kind of scare him a little bit? I was like, what? I was like, you don't want the kids to be scared of the police.
I know, that's a problem with the society already.
Yeah. So yeah, hook it up with some more videos.
Yeah, that's a great example of another. I thought of another PSA that was done for free. Mm-hmm. It was done by Longmont, Colorado Police Department, I believe. And you can Google, not Google. You can YouTube that. It's on their YouTube.
Yeah, take out the battery or something.
Yeah, take out the battery. It's a really awesome little PSA.
It's so good.
That is a good one.
Used the kids of the telecommunicators and the officers and the firemen, and the kids would say, "Take out the batteries," and it was really cute. But that addressed that problem.
Yeah, that's for sure, because that was another big thing too. They get phone calls, and I actually took a call once where a little kid kept calling the cell phone, and we were able to track exactly where he was calling from. It took a bit, but we were able to get to him. And the officer checks out at the address, and he goes, you know, Central, I'm pulling up to such and such address. I'm pretty sure this is the right one. He goes, there's a little kid who was just staring out the front window and ran. Because I had told him, we're going to find you. The police are going to go out there. Oops. You know, you need to stop playing on the phone. You. Yeah. And he had the kid call up and apologize to us.
Oh.
So it ended up turning out fine. But after I hung up, I was like, yeah.
One win for the dispatchers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, score one for us.
That's now, really good practice for location technology, though.
Yes, definitely. But, you know, on building on what we're just talking about with little kids using cell phones and stuff, you guys are working on a cell phone Sally application, correct?
Yes. So this is something we're really excited about, that hopefully we'll be able to bring to, you know, the community sooner than later. But it's, you know, essentially it's a 911 phone application that you would be able to download on your smartphone. Mm-hmm. And it would have available like the cell phone Sally video where you could view it on there. It would have quizzes, games, teach you how, when, what to say when you call 911. And it's basically like, you know, we used to provide classroom kits, and Patty does in her store. Mm-hmm. And essentially it's a way to educate your kids from their phone. And, you know, what's so great is, you know, we don't realize that adults are using iPhones and iPads all the time, but so are kids. And I mean, little kids, yeah. Because yesterday I actually just did a cell phone Sally appearance at my son, who's 15 months at his daycare. And while it wasn't for his age, because they might have been a little scared of
right. Sally, what is this?
It was for the preschoolers, and they had been watching the video all week long. And how were they watching the video? They were watching it on iPads. So, you know, I mean, there's definitely a need for this app. Mm-hmm. And so we started a GoFundMe page, which is a way to crowdfund, and we put it at $10,000 as our goal. And so far we've raised $400. So it's really only a drop in the bucket, but you know, we're still persevering. We're still trying to get this accomplished, because we really feel like not only will this, you know, be a great tool for the public to download at home, parents, you know, to share with their kids, but also for educators out in the field when they're teaching, you know, public education, they can pull out their iPads and, you know, show their, you know, the public, you know, the information right there. So
how can people,
we'll see what happens.
How can people get, how can they help?
Yeah. Know, so if they go to it's gofundme.com/cellphonesallyapp, mm-hmm. just app, APP, and they can donate on there. But, you know, some issues we've ran into is if you're like a government agency, they're not going to want to give money to, you know, like Kickstarter or GoFundMe, because they take a percentage of the money you get.
Right.
So the goal is, you know, essentially once we raise the funds, is that they will be housed like the 911 store that that Patty has, Cell Phone Sally has, will be the creator of the app. So she will, Patty will hold the funds, and then through her 911 store, we will, you know, create the Cell Phone Sally app, and then she will make it available on the store as well as, you know, online on our website as well. And so I guess where I was getting was that if they don't want to give money, you know, to the GoFundMe page, that they can directly send the funds to my911shop.com.
Oh,
and
cool.
It will be, you know, in a special reserved fund account. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And Patty, were you going to say something along with this as well? Or it sounded like you were jumping in there too.
Oh, I was just saying that we're very excited. And I know Melinda told you that at first, for the app. And it's so hard sometimes to get folks outside the 911 industry to understand how important something like that is. And so we've been trying to get donors, and we would love donations from anyone.
Yeah. And I mean, we've had a ton of interest. And if you ask any educator, I mean, everywhere that I've talked about it, from the last MPEF conference to we have Public Educator of Texas meetings here, you know, all of them are like, oh yeah, I want that app. That sounds like a great idea. Just, you know, nobody has the funds, unfortunately. And so, you know, that's why we turned to doing a crowdfunding campaign to try and raise the money. And we're just, you know, hoping that we can reach our goal and, you know, maybe get some big donors involved.
Well, I'll definitely put the, all the information, how to help out, the whole, GoFundMe URL.
I mean, because it'll be a free, it's a free application. You won't be charged, you know, nobody's going to have to pay to download it. Like, it, you know, we want to be able to provide this service and, you know, keep up with the times. And, you know, that's where it's at right now is applications.
Yeah. And that's a great idea too for public education. And you're definitely right with the kids using, you know, devices just like we do, because I have a 3-year-old daughter and she loves going on to.
She's probably better at it than you are, right?
Probably. Yeah. Now I'm trying to keep up with it here. I'm thinking that I'm awesome with tech, and she's like, hey, check this out.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a 14-year-old stepdaughter, and sometimes she's like, you don't know how to do that? Here, let me show you. I'm like, great.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah, but there are some things, though, that the younger crowd will never have to deal with, like cassette tapes,
right?
Rotary dial phones.
VHS, that too.
Yeah, and I don't know if I think I've said this before on the podcast, but I have to say it again because it's funny. I didn't realize that my wife and I had been using Pump soap, like, since our kids were born. So when we ran out one time, my wife pulled out a bar of soap and put it on the sink. So we told our kids to go wash their hands for dinner and stuff. And my son comes out with the bar of soap, and I turn around and look at him. I'm like, what's wrong? And he's got this confused look on his face, and he goes, how do I use this?
Oh my God.
That's too funny.
He's like, what? How do I use this? He goes, this is soap, right? And I said, yeah, it's a bar of soap. And I said, I went and showed him, and he goes, ah, it makes more sense now. He goes, we've always had the Pump soap, you know, newer stuff. And I'm like, okay.
People still use bar soap. Well, have you seen, there's like some videos online where they'll put kids in front of like old, you know, technology and see what they think it is or how to use it. Oh my gosh, it's so funny to see their responses.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll at least be able to say, hey, I had that.
Yeah, back in my day.
Yeah, check this out when I walked miles through snow and all this other stuff. Yeah. So with this application, is there going to be stuff on there for education for kids? Is what for like text to 911 and stuff like that?
Yeah. We're going to, I mean, you know, the idea is to update it, you know, as times change, because we know they will. Yeah, it's going to have text 911 information. I'm sure ideally it will even have like links to information that can help adults, like MLTS stuff that we're working on, or, you know, just anything that might be more proper to teach an adult than a kid.
Right. And, you know, that's actually a good segue as well for the MLTS, because, you know, with that whole public education and everything with, you know, we always teach kids and everybody from when they can talk and everything, call 911. That is the number to call for emergencies. But there's something going on where, and I guess I never really paid attention to it as well. Even though I worked in dispatch, I didn't really pay attention to the fact that businesses, schools, stuff like that, if they've got this, you know, this multi-line telephone system, what MLTS stands for, you got to call 9 first, dial 9. I mean, you know, dial 9 and then 911. And unfortunately, you know, a tragedy struck in Texas where this whole Carrie's Law is going on, and her father, Hank Hunt, with the help of Mark Fletcher with VIA, they've been really pushing for this law. You know, there was that that tragedy with her, where her daughter was trying to call 911 for help and she couldn't get through, but it was because she was doing what she's been told this whole time, to dial 911, but she didn't know that she had to dial a 9 beforehand. And you were talking about how you guys have some stuff that, educational wise, that you're starting to develop or is in development.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other crazy thing about some, you know, like hotels and stuff that you go to is, you know, it's not always just even that you have to dial 9 out. Some have like a special emergency number that they list on their phone, which sometimes just goes to like the hotel operator. So, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in this MLTS, you know, phone. Mm-hmm. Arena, should I say. But CSEC is currently working on a brochure for that's going to be good for people that are MLTS users or providers, and just kind of educating them on, hey, you should make sure your phones can do this, or, you know, that, and we're here to help, and here's why this is important. And so it will most likely just be a digital electronic brochure. And so we will make that available on our website once we have completed it. So right now we're just working on some edits, and hopefully we'll have that available soon.
Another free resource.
There you go. Yeah.
We love free resources, and we love to provide free resources. And I say that like wholeheartedly. So, you know, if anybody out there listening, if there's a need for something, you know, reach out to Patty or I, because, you know, we're always looking for ways to improve public education and, you know, help out.
So are your emails on the website then?
Yeah, I mean, on the MPEF website, mm-hmm. Is probably the best way to reach us.
Okay. And then, Patty, go ahead. I'm sorry. I kind of cut you off there.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. The website for MPEF is 911NPEF.org. O-R-G. And the contact information is on there. But if you're a member of MPEF, you also have access to our MPEF Dropbox, which has oodles of information and free resources.
More than you could ever imagine.
Yeah. And that's the neat thing. If somebody emails me and has a request for something, like one of the ones that was really cool, this lady in another state needed a PowerPoint presentation. She had never presented to senior citizens before, and she was relatively new to the 911 industry and public education. And I put out an email blast for her, and she said within 5 minutes she had a PowerPoint presentation that all she had to do was change the end credits and put her organization's information there. And then she also had received some tips for educating senior citizens, and what kinds of things should you target with them? What kind of information? So, you know, she didn't have to reinvent the wheel, and she benefited, you know, greatly from that email that I sent out. And she didn't have to spend hours creating a PowerPoint and researching what she needed to tell senior citizens.
Yeah. And I always joke about, you know, sharing is caring, but I mean, really it is. There's no need for you to have to start from the beginning if, you know, there's something out there that you can work off of already. Cause we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to get the educational message out there and, you know, let people know how to use 911, when to use it and what to use it for.
Yeah. We try to really focus on the basics most of the time. Of course, with technology changing as quickly as it does, a lot of folks have already implemented texting to 911, and so those are some of the resources that we've been getting, you know, new materials for. But we have lots of materials and lots of campaign messages, taglines that have to do with basic information like know your location. That's a big one that we try to push all the time.
And that's speaking of taglines, that's another thing is that I love about the conferences is, you know, we'll have a session at, you know, at some point, or somebody incorporates where, you know, they give you a piece of candy or, a pin or whatever it may be. And they'll say, okay, make a tagline for it. And then we go around the room and we share them all. And it's just great to hear the fun things that people come up with, that you could take back and use in your area. And, yeah. You know, from even just like, if you, you know, we talk about using office supplies because not everybody has a public education budget. So,
That's true.
What are some of those taglines? Do you remember any of them?
Oh, no, you're putting us on the spot.
We've got a ruler right now in the store and it says, make it a rule, call 911 in emergencies.
Nice.
Yeah, another fun one that Susan Rodriguez came up with is she got a bunch of Smarty candies. Mm-hmm. And it says, you know, be a Smarty, know your location, or, you know, anything with like be a Smarty. And so it just, it worked out great.
She does that in her community events and they have to answer a survey for her because she has to provide a lot of stats with her program for their funding. And so she uses that as an incentive to get them to take the survey.
Yeah, yeah, I'll give you some candy, but you have to take a survey first.
You know, I think I'm going to have to go to your next conference. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Love to have you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we try to make them bigger and better than every year. And I think that we've done a pretty good job of that. I mean, what, Patty, it was maybe 50 people at the first conference.
Yes. I think there was about 70, the first conference.
Okay. And then this last conference, we were what, 130 or? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely growing, the word's getting out there. And, you know, depending on our location, if there's a lot of, you know, educators in the area, then we, you know, we get a lot more people from that area. Like, so when we're in Texas, you know, we get a lot of Texas folks, but like when we went to Illinois, we had a lot of Illinois folks. So, it's great to, you know, reach other states and let them know that we exist and, you know, we're here to help.
That's awesome. How does one become a member of MPEF?
They just snap their fingers and poof. It happens.
That's awesome. That's what I like. That easy, the easy button.
Actually, you just go to the website, 911npef.org, and there is a tab at the top that says join. And it will ask you to fill out some information like your name, your agency, your email address, and it sends an email to me and I add you to the group. It's that easy.
Awesome.
And there is a link on that page and on Patty's store, my911shop.com, where you can also see the GoFundMe cell phone Sally app initiative campaign.
Excellent. Do you have any social media outlets that you'd like to plug here? We're going into the wrap up of this episode.
Yeah. I mean, we have a Cell Phone Sally Facebook page and an MPEF Facebook page. Patty, what's the Facebook for MPEF? Do you know the...
I'm pretty sure it's National Public Educator Forum, 911 National Public Educator Forum.
Yeah. And ours is just, facebook.com/ cell phone Sally. And then we are also, I have a cell phone Sally page on Twitter. And then I also have a weekly, well, I try to make it a weekly blog. Like you were saying with your, with your podcast, you try to keep them weekly, but then you get, you know, kind of busy. So, there is a cell phone Sally blog that, provides all types of emergency services information, you know, or we might talk about if it's Telecommunicators Week or, you know, a special holiday that might be emergency services related, just anything we can play off of that we can provide, you know, public education information on. And that's on Blogger on the Google blog spot. And so if you just go on there and Google Cell Phone Sally, you should be able to find it. I'm not sure the exact.
And if you'd like to find out about Cell Phone Sally and how she was originated and brought to life, I have an about page about Cell Phone Sally on my911shop.com.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And that is a shop, a web shop that I opened. Melinda's agency, CSEC, had a store for Texas public educators to go shopping with their public education funds. And they just so happened to...
Well, we had to close due to, you know, our my public education budget being slashed. So we needed a resource still to provide, because while, you know, CSEC owns the copyright to Cell Phone Sally and Friends. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while educators in Texas are allowed to use her likeness, people out of state that had adopted her as their mascot did not have those same rights. And so we wanted to be able to provide a store that they could still purchase Cell Phone Sally products, especially if they had spent like $6,000 on a costume. So, right, yeah. You know, we worked with Patty and West Central Texas Council of Governments. And so we came to an understanding, and they now can provide. They're the sole shop in the United States, in the world, that can sell Cell Phone Sally products.
Sweet. Well, I'll make sure to have all of those links up on the blog.
Yeah, I'll give you one last link, because this is where you can find all my, you know, all my social media stuff for Cell Phone Sally. Yeah. Is if you go to www.csec.texas.gov, and then you just go to the education tab, and under there you'll see social media. Click on that, and then you can find all the links to our social media.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you both very much for being on this episode. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did as well. And
yes, thanks so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Definitely.
You can, we enjoyed it.
You can be on the show anytime. Anytime you have anything.
Yes, new I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime.
See you next week. Well, and I'll be just about the Cell Phone Sally app, because I want to get everybody, if they could just go and at least everybody just donate $20, that's all, then I guarantee you we'll have this funded and in the arms of everybody sooner than later.
There you go. There's the call to action there. Get that site. Check it out. Donate a little something. Let's get this going.
Yeah, make your job easier. Educate your public.
There you go. So once again, thank you very much for being on this episode. And for those who are listening, if you want to get a hold of the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's @911podcast. You can find us on Facebook and like us, facebook.com/withinthetrenches. And this can be heard. It's available 24/7 on the jabberlog.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and now SoundCloud. We just added SoundCloud, and every single episode is up there. As of right now, you can check it out. And now when I share the episodes on the Facebook fan page, you can listen to the show right from that wall. You don't have to go anywhere else. You can listen to it right from there, and you can comment on it. It's an excellent addition. So we've got more episodes that are going to be coming up. Like I said in the beginning, there's about 10 more people that I have in line for this, but just keep listening. Thank you very much for the support and everything, and have a good one.